flyover state of film was shot in front of a live studio audience.
Joe is looking beautiful, and I say, "No, Brian. Hey, it's like looking in the mirror, baby. I love it."
TJ is going down Santa Simony. All right, welcome back, guys.
His what?
What?
His you're what?
You're going down Santa Simony. So we Chimney crickets. All right, welcome back, guys. Another episode of Fly Rich Little Film. As always with me, my boys, Brian, TJ, and Santa Claus.
Oh, oh, oh. Welcome to Flower State of Film.
I love that Joe always has like the biggest, not always, but he has a track history with big commitments with costumes that always last like 5 minutes in the
episode. Oh, this gear, I want to
peel this thing off in no time.
Hold on.
I want a drink
of
water.
What do you mean, Joe? That's Santa Claus, right? That's not Joe. It's just Santa.
Yes, we're talking about Santa, Joe and Santa Claus, two separate people.
I'm just letting Santa Claus know, you know, bringing him in.
Someone has an optical cable.
Just what I always wanted.
Is coming off.
No. Stay in character. So, boys, now that we have Santa Claus here, how about we do a Christmas wish?
What could I get you, TJ?
Oh, wow.
What would
I mean,
you like?
If we're talking to me, TJ, everyone's favorite movie opinion person,
I guess
you would say. No credit.
Old
no
TJ was
viewer.
Slipping out on Twitter today.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw Naughty TJ up was pretty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's in
a cold for TJ this year.
Man, that is tough because I'm honestly getting everything I wanted. Indiana Jones 5, right? Avatar is coming back. Wonder Woman was fucking booted. Get out of here. So to be honest, it's really hard. If I had to, if we're going to do this whole multiverse thing, I'm not sure. Brian might be able to help me out. I don't remember the
more
guy.
Sam Raimi Spider-Man. All right, nope. TJ, you good wish. Brian,
No. If we can get the gentleman who, Ed Gale, I think his name is, help me out if I'm wrong here, played Howard the Duck in the costume, because they did like three different versions. There was a kid, there was Ed Gale, and I believe somebody else.
But your favorite performer?
Throw him back in Guardians. I think we're going to probably get something, like some type of multiverse thing, but I wouldn't mind seeing like that old.
Do we know if Ed Gale, because he was might have been older, is he still with us?
That's what I was wondering. I don't know if he is, if he's not, RIP.
This is just a wish. I'll bring it to life.
Bring a zombie back to life.
If we can bring somebody back to life, then. Sorry, Ed Gale. Fuck you. Let me get some more, Harold Ramis.
My go-to would always be John Candy in that situation, but I'm not going to spend my Christmas wish on bringing John Candy back. I don't want to bring somebody back from the dead. I want to bring one of my heroes back from the brink. Santa, my Christmas wish.
What would you like there, Brian?
Give me back my James Cameron. We've lost him. To Avatar,
Bring
me the man who made Titanic.
Brian,
bring me T2's James Cameron.
Young Brian, listen. It's a big ass gym. He's a little bigger than me even now. I don't know if I could convince Jim to come back. But you listen,
maybe you didn't hear his Oscar speech. He is king of the world now.
Young, listen, when Jimmy was young, he wanted to make simple, simple things. It was easy. Just, here you go, Jimmy. Now, Jimmy Cameron is, you know, I'll see what I can do. Maybe a an Avatar one-shot that's not in the Na'vi, but it feels different. That might be the best case scenario.
I think you're fucking right, because I feel like Santa Claus is a huge Avatar fan. Like, he's very...
I think that's...
I'm happy to be at the Way of Water.
My
Listen, Santa.
Can I sit on your lap, Santa? I wore very thin.
Just one more Avatar talk, Nelly. I begged him not to put 78-year-old Sigourney Weaver as a teen. So it was weird. And he said, I don't care. So... What is your wish, young Yusuf?
Really, is that really what's happening? She's a teen in the movie?
Yeah, she's playing a child Na'vi in this.
She's the mocap daughter.
It's like her spirit made it, because, you know, like, they put her...
Like what we do in the shadows.
The tree absorbed her body in the first movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, but now the tree spit out a little alien that looks like her. I don't know, man. I don't.
What is your Christmas wish, Yusuf?
I just
hope
they knit her a little Stanford...
I just want all of Guillermo del Toro's failed projects. I want The Hobbit. I want Hellboy 3. I want Pacific Rim 2. I want all the things.
What
that...
about any like original property? Everything in name was a IP.
An original IP by Guillermo del Toro, though.
Yeah.
Oh, fair. That sounds very nice. I will call Guillermo. You know, he's just producing the Cabinet of Curiosity season 2. He probably has some time.
Yeah, tell him to make better content too. That fucking
has anybody watched Pinocchio yet? It's on my list.
Oh, I haven't watched it.
Not yet.
I'm very excited though.
It seems like an after holiday type film. You know, it's very
My holiday watching is full up. I got a stack of movies over here to watch. Plus, I'm always trying to find a new
with your friends. Piece of crap with your friends watch. And buddies over there.
Right? Oh my! No, I mean, if by friends and buddies you mean a stack of DVDs, then yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
And your girlfriend from Canada.
Oh, speaking of DVDs, Santa's movie wish is I wish that I was able to get every movie that is not able to acquire on Blu-ray or 4K, but at like a reasonable price and not.
Do you have one specifically that you really want?
Yes. That would be a copy of True Lies. Speaking of James Cameron.
That's a great pick. Let's do a hot take round of a physical media you wish 4K? You could get. I want a reasonably priced, region-free Dawn of the Dead.
So I have a Dawn of the Dead region, the box set, and it's 4K, character. And I have three. Santa has that, but Santa can't play the special features. It's a beautiful
piece. Santa, right, they're all the special features are in German or something like that, right?
No, it's not. It's not playable.
Santa Claus.
So the movie is region-free, but the special features aren't?
Yes, because it's disc 4 of a 4-disc series. But the movies are playable.
Out of like your millions and millions of childlike slaves, have one of them make you that 4K, Santa, right?
Listen, the child slaves do be making us some pretty good product.
Love the idea that Elves is a rebranding by the Santa Corporation of his child slavery ring.
Listen.
They're elves, actually. Listen, don't worry about it.
Me and the good folks at Nike Corporation have a deal. Why do you think all the shoes are unavailable at the holiday time? Because they're looking for old Santa Claus.
That's right.
Saint Nick.
All the Chris factories Kringle. Turn over to making toys.
Yeah, and then I just put them in my big old sack. Hey, bring them kids, around town. It's magic, TJ, so they have all the technology over there. They don't actually have any engineering skills, but it's like, do you want Elden Ring? I'll give you Elden Ring, but sometimes they mess it up and it's Elfen Ring. You know, it's a...
I always love the idea as like the Santa myth progressed and like Santa makes the toys, but toys are what they are now. And just the idea of an elf just like banging away on a video game with like a big wood hammer just like on an assembly line.
That's why it has so many glitches.
That's why you put a game in now and they're like, oh, we need an up Microsoft's like, we have an update. Yeah. And you can only play like the one loading screen that's really the tutorial.
Tomb Raider 1.
Guys, Santa is just gonna take a break real quick.
Good to see you, Santa. Goodbye, Santa.
Bye-bye.
Hey, hi to Mrs. Claus.
Say hi to Mrs. Claus for us.
Oh, hello.
Stop watching me masturbate.
Oh, hello.
It's okay. Oh. Hey, buddy. Hey, guys, that was just Joe, wasn't Santa.
Hey.
That's such a bummer. You missed him. Nice. Santa was just here.
Santa was... He has his headphones on. He can't hear us.
Don't forget your eyebrows. Cat Goldthwait.
Joe,
you missed Santa.
He's just here.
Oh, no. Did he have a very husky voice?
Yeah, he did. No, sexier than I expected.
Ooh, that's nice.
You know what he said though, Joe? It was very weird.
What did he say?
He said, "If you could pick a movie and place me in it, which one would it be?" Like I was like, "Whoa, Santa, that's kind of like a segue because that's Brian's topic, right, Brian?"
That's a good prompt.
Santa really getting those good segues.
When he hears it, you know. And Santa was telling us that he liked to see himself in things. He's pro media, and he was like, "I would love to see myself put into perhaps classic movies or classic movie parodies or classic movie."
This almost sounds like a topic.
Is it? Is a topic?
I think we did a topic, guys.
Where'd Santa go?
Santa had a bunch of beard hair in his mouth and needs to use that beard in a week.
All right, who wants to take over, Brian? Well, you want to say the premise?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like we were talking about, our movie this week is Violent Night, and it's basically a riff on Die Hard with Santa Claus in the lead. And we've seen that before, and Nobody came out last year and stuff. But, like, Santa Claus is the new twist, and I thought, what other classic movies, like Die Hard, or any type of classic, I suppose, whatever your definition may be, would you like to see recast with Santa as the lead? Whether it be, like, Violent Night, where it's more of a kind of, like, homage and, like, genre of mirroring, I guess you might say, or flat out just pluck the lead out of the movie and put Santa Claus in it. Either way, what you guys have in mind? Anything? TJ's hands up. What a polite
boy. TJ. Let's get TJ first on this.
That's my move, TJ. Right. What the fuck?
I mean, it's pretty topical right now, and I don't know why, you know, anyone hasn't made it. And I swear to anybody that is watching this, I don't know if there are skits out. If there are, I did not steal this idea. I just think it could be a funny one, but also it's...
Sounds like you did if you're already setting this
incredibly
up.
Incredibly topical. No, because when I was sitting here thinking about it,
like when the
question was, I was going to use this answer for a different one based around the holiday that we'll get to with the topic, but I was like, I'm not going to spoil two. I'll just keep one and one. But for this one, it's a very simple name change. Santa's List. If anyone can kind of get with where I'm going here.
Oh, TJ.
So what I'm basically doing is, why not replace Santa with Liam Neeson's lead character in The Schindler's List and have him save, obviously.
Back away from the mic, dude. You're coming off a little with you. Or maybe it's like the racism in the joke that you're saying that sounds muddled the mic a little bit.
No, all I'm saying is, why not replace Santa with, you know, helping and saving people, is what I'm saying. It's
would
all
his red
saying.
Suit. So I have one question. Would his red suit be the only, would be highlighted like in, like the only color in the film, like the coat, like the red coat?
Yeah.
Like the hat and the suit, like so the little girl who's like symbolic and like this like really like heartbreakingly beautiful film that is, I would say, probably one of our more important pieces of, like, cultured cinema that has come out. You know, that really message. Spielberg didn't take a paycheck for it because it would have been blood money. Let's insert a Christianic
hero. Iconography, hero,
right
at the center of it,
and not even real Christian, really more like a capitalism based kind of like focus.
I didn't add part of my wish I would have asked Santa also is bring back Bob Hoskins as playing the lead. You know, nothing crazy, nothing offset. We're just going to have Bob Hoskins replace Liam Neeson as a lead in Santa's List. That's all I'm saying. I'm not looking for any type of wow.
The Mario episode, like, it's surprising that he never plays Santa Claus.
This is upsetting because this actually, like, makes me almost want to change my answer. Because there are too many similarities. Not in the ways you might think, but...
What is it?
It's upsetting. So my thing was like, okay, you know, you get Santa up at the North Pole.
TJ, that was good, by the way.
Santa's up at the North Pole. Things running smoothly, but he's getting a little bored, you know? There's a problem pops up with a rowdy elf. He takes care of it. But he's kind of checked out. You know, he's just doing his thing. Then all of a sudden, an old flame comes into his life. She needs his help. Ingrid Bergman. She needs him to use his Christmas magic to help the war effort in Santa Blanca.
Hey, man. Same wavelength. We got this. We're all right. Just save me here, though, please.
I did not think that we would be all doing black and white World War II movies, but here we are.
I'm not.
I
like this train.
Okay. All right, fine.
Yeah, but do we get the same?
It's just me and TJ have culture, whatever.
Yeah, dude, we are so cool.
Oh, I got
Santa's still going to womanize in this?
Oh, absolutely.
Is he still like a chain smoker? That looks like he's in his 30s and looks like he's in
high school. He looks like Michael Scott in that Office episode where he's got like the jacket and the hat
and the velvet
fancy Santa. That's how he looks in this one.
Oh fuck!
Oh, he's looking at you.
And who's playing the piano?
An elf, Tony Cox.
Can I tell you guys something and just kind of let you in on anything? I haven't seen either Schindler's List, Santa's List, or Casablanca ever. So, there's that too.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not surprised you haven't seen either of those.
That is like...
It checks out.
Go watch Casablanca in the movie theater on St. Valentine's. That's a good date.
That is an excellent date. Me and Sarah watch it on our anniversary. It's a good one. Wow, Casablanca's really good, though.
Yeah, both of those movies are really good. Like, good. I don't want to watch any of them really ever again. Once one watches, we're good for me.
I can rewatch.
I guess one's got rewatchability for
Brian,
me.
I know you have a poster of Casablanca in your room.
He's classy.
You guys fancy?
Mine is not a classy movie, but I think it's a fantastic fucking movie. But I'm gonna recruit Krampus as well. So we're gonna have Krampus. We're going to have Santa, and the movie that I'm picking is Face Off. So we're going to do Face Off, but we're going to switch Santa and Krampus. And it's going to be the same fucking actors, too.
Same dialogue?
Same everything, but, you know, sprinkle in.
Shot for shot.
So maybe like
sprinkle in Travolta as Santa, instead and Nick Cage as Krampus, and then flip-flop.
Instead of, I could eat a peach, I could eat a peach for hours, it's probably like...
I could eat a
cookie
for hours.
Yeah, I could eat a candy cane. I could eat a candy cane for hours.
You know, sprinkle some Christmas joy throughout the dialogue.
Prison in the North Pole?
Yes, definitely. That's a great point, too. But, and obviously, South. Like, it already takes place in Christmas,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
is that where the choir is playing in the mall, or is just a choir playing in the mall?
Well, that was a convention
center. Yeah, I think it's just a choir.
That was just
and now it's a Christmas choir.
Who's playing, what's his name's character? Not the brother. Is his brother in jail? I'm so sorry, Joe. I don't mean disrespect.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell's character. Like, Rudolph?
Sam Rockwell's not in it, but the guy's kind of Sam Rockwell-like.
No, it's not Sam Rockwell. It's
from, I always thought it was Sam
Terminator.
Rockwell. Michael Bean?
Yeah.
No.
You're talking about
Pollux Troy.
Yeah, you're talking about Pollux Troy.
He's in Many Saints in Newark, who played Dickie Malfasante in Many Saints in Newark.
Yeah. He
also
visits him in jail, but
that's where TJ probably knows him from.
He strikes up a plea bargain to get him out of jail. He's like, I got you, big
bro.
He's
the little drummer boy.
So he's in jail. Yeah, he's there. Does he still go, I'm not Caster Troy, I'm Caster Troy? But now it's, I'm Santa Claus, I'm Sweet. I'm Krampus in jail, right?
Krampus
in jail,
I'm Krampus.
Didn't they make a movie like that, like called like The Night Before something, where it's like just Santaverse, Krampus? Not that
you are. Is it that Christmas Horror Story? I feel like that's the cover
that's
of
what
that.
It is, yeah.
I've never watched it.
It's kind of a fake out in the movie. Rewatching it. That's one of those ones. It's an all right little Christmas horror movie, but it's like they're just a few ideas.
Is that the Bill Goldberg one?
Actually good,
no,
you know?
No.
That
he's
cover.
He's like the first dead, like, killer Santa, I think. Other
Christmas
than, like,
Sleigh
Deadly Night.
The Santa
Sleigh,
Sleigh
about, Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
No, the Christmas Horror Story cover looks like every, like, straight to DVD. Like, it's not, yeah. That's not in the movie.
It's a pretty decent quality for straight to DVD. They definitely like spent their money on their little effects and stuff rather than their cast.
Yeah,
I also watched another one like that, Red Snow or something. It's in, like, from last year. It's like a vampire movie. Very hyper low budget. Spent their money on a few good effects and not on their cast because they fucking some of the worst acting I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
What about you, Joe? Where are you placing Santa?
So I've always wanted to see Santa. I always wondered if Santa could be, you know, friends with a woman. And I don't believe he can.
when Harry met Sally.
When Santa met Sally.
I like better when Harry met Santa. Like, let's do a gay rom-com.
We could gender
Billy
swap
Crystal
it.
And Santa Claus.
Honestly.
I'm actually more.
Either.
Why
either
did I know the answer so quick? That was so weird, too. I was like, when Harry met Sally.
Because that's the tagline of When Harry Met Sally is men can't be friends. And I just think it'd be so nice, you know, and no real Christmas magic in it at all. I mean, it's just straight up When Harry Met Sally or the gender swap version where Harry
where he has the
met
orgasm
Santa. Yeah, and Santa's sitting there going, oh, I fake it all the time. Oh
my God, of course. That's absolutely the fucking version you have to do.
And Rob Reiner's mom goes, I'll have what Santa's having. I'll have that for Christmas, is what he says.
Yeah, exactly. Add that to my Christmas list.
Yeah.
So and also, would there have to be an element of, like, if there's no magic, then there has to be an element of, like, questioning if Santa is a mentally ill person?
No, there's. Like, I'm sorry.
There's
magic.
Is he also drinking cat's belly too?
Yeah, there's magic. There's magic. It's Santa Claus. I just mean in the sense of you're not getting a Christmas story. You're looking at Santa's love life and
this
like
is,
Carrie Fisher still
we're
in
leaving
it.
Leaving all the Christmas shit to the side. This is about hooking up.
That's what I mean. So the magic's there. You. Like that's Santa and hoeing. But.
Hoeing.
It's no mall Santa. This isn't bad Santa.
I gotcha.
It's so hard not to double down on my answer and not mention Cat's Deli. From that
well,
one.
Guys. speaking of that, anything would make us. We got another topic on our hands.
Topic! And luckily, it's TJ the one that said.
Is this one mine or is this the game?
Go ahead, Kanye.
We don't got a game this week.
I don't have a game. What are you talking about, game?
I thought we had the game before. I thought we needed a bad thing. But my next topic, what movie would have made more sense during Christmas? Obviously, we're just following on with what we've been talking about. So I'm not going to start this one.
I don't think it's like it. I don't think it necessarily makes more sense that it's in Christmas. But given the cinematography, of the movie and the aesthetics and the period piece it takes place in, I think it would have been cooler to see Christmas while you were watching The Village, like seeing that village recreate
the austere kind of
tree with the actual candles and recreating all the traditions of the pagans back then, and then trying
real,
to
like who directed who's the guy who directed The Witch?
Oh, Robert Eggers.
Have like a real Robert Eggers vibe to it.
Sure, yeah, that'd be cool.
But you know that, and the reason why I kind of also picked it is because, like the main color of that movie is red. Like the red is like fucking amazing in that movie. It looks beautiful, and having those Christmas decorations and the wreaths and it would have been a little bit slightly better too, like it being in snow and it being colder and it being even more.
Real side tangent.
Go ahead.
His new movie looks fucking terrible.
I feel like I haven't seen quite enough, but I saw that trailer.
Right? I saw that
if the Strangers were weird religion. It's like Red State.
I saw that trailer twice because I saw Violent Night twice. What's the name
of it? The Cabin?
Knock at some, the Cabin Door? Or
knock
like
at the
that?
Cabin yeah. Door.
I know it's based on a book. I know that. He didn't write it. I mean, I'm sure he adapted it to a screenplay, but he didn't. It's based on a book.
Oh, yeah. With Dave Bautista. Yeah, it looks fucking horrible.
Rupert Grint. It's got fucking Rupert Grint in it.
Yeah.
I'll save my trailer commentary for when we get to Violent Night. But Village, what would be so? It would just be taking place like on like not Christmas, but like the pit, like Samhain. No, no, it's Halloween. Like
the pagan
like,
what's day. The, what, like what's the religious the, background for the film?
Winter solstice.
Because obviously,
I mean, no, they're. I don't think they have like. I don't think they're like preserving a specific religion. I think they're just preserving a way of life, like
probably not religious. I don't remember that.
Oh, but
yeah,
there was no religion.
Part of it.
It's like materialism and like having material things. That's why they left the city, because of like the greediness
the
and all
way,
that
yeah.
stuff. Like they would, which would be cool, is because they would probably base it more around, obviously, what you guys are saying, the solstice, not have it be based around what was obviously the norm where they were from when it came. So yeah, I would love that.
That'd be cool. I feel like it would give it points too, where people are like, you know, it's a good Christmas movie.
Yeah.
The Village, because you know what I'm getting sick of? The Die Hard. We talked about this last year. The Die Hard. Fuck. You know how many people Christmas season send me like the Instagram clip or like TikTok clip of Bruce Willis doing Die Hard's on a Christmas movie from the roast? And it's like, I had five people be like, that settles that. And I really want to reply to everyone and be like,
that's that.
That doesn't mean shit what Bruce Willis says.
Yeah. Oh, you mean Bruce Willis read the lines that somebody wrote for him on that night on the roast? Like, what the fuck?
More than one person, more than two people sent me an Instagram of that clip. And I'm like, yeah, no, I saw him say that 5 years ago.
And also, again, he just read what somebody wrote for him. He's not like, he didn't ad-lib that shit. He doesn't care.
But having said that, The Village is that would put a perfect little like, another like, hey, you know what's a great Christmas movie? Blank. Like when we did Kiss Kiss, Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah, Long Kiss Goodnight's so good. As far as I actually thought this question was pretty hard. I was like, man. At first I wanted to just like, what's a Christmas movie that I kind of like is a backdoor Christmas movie, kind of like a Die Hard that I wish leaned harder into Christmas. And of course, I wanted to say an all time fave of the show, Prometheus. But I did come up with something else. But I do think it would have been cool to like lean into the religious aspect even more and set it at Christmas and like make that kind of in the background of Prometheus, but whatever. But I thought, what's a movie that just feels like that I think is a Christmas movie but isn't, and just like feels like it could, and it's Fargo. Like it looks all snowy and shit. Plus, everybody's all like, you got that Minnesota nice thing going on, and I feel like you could have cranked that up even more if it was Christmas time and everybody's like,
you could
really
put, like,
in the spirit and trying to be extra nice to each other. Than the contrast of what's going on in the actual story and stuff.
You could put the like the sheriff in like a Santa's hat and like like this kind of hat driving around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like add that little flair
But like have her in that hat, but it still has the star on the front, so she has to like point to it when Peter Stormer can't hear her over the body being shoved into the chipper.
That would.
That's a good. And yeah, it's just like playing. It's literally just putting a fucking tree in the background, and there was like, yeah, it's Christmas.
Of course it's Christmas around here. Why not? Mike Giannita has like a tie with fucking like, you know, like little some trees on it or whatever. Who cares? Like.
It does. It obviously is because we associate cold and snow with Christmas. But yeah, it really does feel like a Christmas.
Like I said,
now that you just said it.
Like also the way that everything around Christmas time feels geared toward customer service, like to some extent, that really just, like I said, that Minnesota nice kind of like fakey, everything with a smile, like too nice.
We found out. when we went for a little mini moon years ago, how we loved Minnesota. People were so nice, but we did see the fake. I saw through some people's complete
Minnesota. Fakeness.
Yeah, of course. They can't keep it up all the time.
We walked around the stadium with our Mets stuff on, and obviously they weren't playing, and just we saw people looking, and it was like, oh man, just ask why we're wearing it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Instead of ignoring it, it was like, no, you could ask.
Yeah, it's all right. It's fine.
But
we're a couple of weirdos.
Fargo reminds me, not a pick I had, but it reminds me of, like, which probably has been a topic on our show before, like, what's a great, like, winter movie? It reminds me of picking a Misery or something like that, right? Like, snow's on the ground. Shining.
Like, obviously, they had Christmas in the hotel, right? They're there, it's just kind of implied that Christmas happens while they're there, right?
That would have been a good scene. Oh, but wouldn't that discourse be so annoying by now of, Shining's really a Christmas movie.
Shining's a Christmas movie.
Like so is Mean Girls then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every movie that takes place over the course of a year is technically a Christmas movie.
Twilight.
Well, I mean, I was gonna say mine kind of falls into that category too.
So is Jesus Christ Superstar.
Huh?
What?
Sorry, my connection's awful.
Right, no, go for it. Me. TJ, you want to go or?
Sure, I was gonna say. Well, like my whole thing was like something that takes over the time of like years, but I was like, I don't know if in the movie they ever mention it or have any like, you know, Christmas element to it. But like, you know, imagine this: like you see this movie, you're the new fish, you hear about the guy who can give you all the goods in the jail, you go into the cell. He's sitting there with a little mini Christmas tree, smoking a cigar, taking this from Prometheus and Idris Elba. Great movie. Morgan Freeman's playing the Red. But like Shawshank, like if there was some type of like Chris, because like you go over so many years in this jail and so many like different things. Like sure, Morgan Freeman's character obviously gets anyone the jail goods. But if there was like that one like Christmas morning type of thing, like, oh, Andy's getting out of just getting.
Would that kind of work?
Like, we're getting them a poster and make them feel good, but, like, why not, like, have a Christmas moment and, like, just something.
Or, like, Andy uses the distraction of, like, the Christmas party, like, with the warden and stuff to, like,
this part of his escape. He was a wealthy guy. Like that, drunk on eggnog. He probably had some great Christmases before he was accused of murder. So, like, I feel like some part of him had that inside of him. So, like, they would have had some, like, I don't know, just mention of it or even just read, like, I've been in jail since I was fucking 15 years old. I have no idea what Christmas is. Never had a Christmas in my life. But Andy does, like, those type of moments. The movie has tons of levity in it with all of its awful scenes and all that type of stuff. But I feel like Christmas that kinda, always gives it that little...
They really know how to balance the rape.
You notice how I didn't say the word? I just mentioned the sisters. We get
it. You know how you balance out rape?
Christmas.
You know what everyone likes in their Christmas movie? A little essay. Perfect. You know what's weird? You know what's a movie that doesn't get put up in that category? But like, isn't there a big plot point in Catch Me If You Can that they call each other on a fucking Christmas every
time? Cause he's lonely.
Yeah, is it Christmas or New Year's?
No, it's Christmas because Tom Hanks is working late. His wife is, I think, having a kid or pregnant, so he can't be in the hospital. And he calls me like this whole thing. He's like, because of this, you call me because you're lonely.
That just popped in my head that like no one puts that in there. Like, well, because anyway, my pick would be The Cable Guy.
Okay.
I feel like there's a good setting for like.
Is there any Christmas in the Cable Guy? For some reason,
no. But I thought this question was, like, what movie would make more sense as a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
So I was like, adding things to it of like,
yeah.
A guy that's lonely, the kid, he's trying to get in, and it could still take place where it takes place where it's not cold, but like more of a Christmas setting. And
they
like,
still have Christmas in places that doesn't get cold, I guess.
Puerto Rico, but also, like one of shout the best out places to celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, well, shout out to anyone. I believe it has to be Brian who's been watching Roseanne on Peacock.
Yeah, baby.
I jumped in on like the latest Christmas episode where like Darlene was going out. She's like, "You gotta be home for a wonderful life," and she's like, "Well, it's gonna be on at 8:30, then 9 o'clock, then 9:30, then 10 o'clock, 7:30. I think I'll catch one." I was like, if Chip Douglas or whatever his name was throughout the film, like, just watch A Wonderful Life nonstop.
Yeah, that's right. Like, just add things like that in, or like the karaoke scene is like a Christmas, like that's what I do on Christmas Eve. I do karaoke, and he drags fucking what's Sad Boy's name? Why? What am I
Matthew blanking? Broderick.
Matthew Broderick is always so sad. He just looks like a broken man.
I mean, he
man.
Did murder people, so.
Yeah, you killed somebody.
So. Yeah. You would be sad if you do that.
What my favorite, I hope that haunts him. It should.
One of my favorite fun facts is in Deck the Halls, Matthew Broderick's Christmas movie.
That's just the worst. Oh, man, I tried
this
to watch
episode's
that.
Like, it has a very hint of DeVito darkness.
In it, too, and it's so
he,
sad.
Red line of that it. How Does This Get Made is an all-time classic, and one person brought up, they were like, I knew a friend on set, and Matthew Broderick would just go like, I hate my life, like just look miserable and like hate his life. And Danny DeVito would just fly in and out of the town for his scenes. I mean, like,
can I ask?
Just like only show up, shoot for a day, and bang.
I want to shout out an RIP also to the gentleman from The Sopranos. Help me out here. Surviving Christmas with Ben Affleck, him, Christina Applegate.
Oh, I mean, it was rough.
It's so bad, but it's so good. Where
it's that better. Cool. It's better.
Oh, where he hires the family, right? Thanks.
He yes, tried. Thank you. Yeah, there's a porn shoot with fucking Chris Schitt's Creek in it.
Oh, that's like a good shitty drunk marathon, like Christmas with the Cranks, Deck the Halls.
Christmas with the Cranks is
four Christmases. You could add that.
Four Christmases.
Saw that on a date.
There's one more. We need a fifth. Like when you're fifth? Just blind drunk.
Just Friends. Friends.
I like Just Friends.
I do too, Christmas. But I also like Surviving Christmas.
Holiday in Handcuffs. 12 Dates of Christmas. I'm just naming ABC Family original programs.
Yeah,
I think four is
fine. Just to drop it.
I can't stand Christmas with the Cranks. I mean, what if they're what if a Jewish family moves out on that block? Are they gonna bully them?
Well, I think we all know that one. The homeowners association would never let that happen.
And also, the point of the movie is literally like it's like Tim Allen. They should just be honest with their daughter. We're going on vacation.
That's a shitty one for me. I like it.
And then also Tim Allen should just be like, I don't know, Dan Aykroyd. Yeah, just put up the lights. It's fine. Like,
it's whatever.
I'm pretty sure Jersey Girl's a heavy Christmas movie too. Like,
is it?
Because the beginning when she dies are at a Christmas party, going to the Christmas party. Then at the very end where they have the talent show is right before the Christmas. Mm.
Yeah. Frick Gloss, number 5.
Don't know. That's too much Vince Vaughn representation on our list. I think.
He did knock off four Christmases, and he had a string of them.
Is Couples Retreat a Christmas movie? No, but still.
It could be. Like, we're all going away for Christmas. Fuck our kids.
It is.
No, they're all getting divorced, and, like, they need to, like, repair the marriages.
Oh, if there's a lot of stress on your marriage, definitely go on a big, expensive vacation.
Yeah.
With other couples who have different pay grades as you.
We could put Mixed Nuts in the middle.
Mixed Nuts is the one that everybody that is bad that I like. See, we all have them.
I think I watched it last year because Brian was like, "This is good." I'm like, "It's a good cast." Nora Ephron,
This is the one where like you watch you watch the first two, right, and then you put Mixed Nuts, and everybody just goes and starts getting food, and it's like playing the background.
Mixed Nuts is a good like middle of the road one. Yeah,
it's like people are talking, and suddenly like they watch the end, and then are ready for the next one.
That's a good one. Jack Frost, you could put on that list.
Jack Frost, that's a good one, too. All right, I feel like we're in a
different... I've been this topic out, right? We're pretty good.
Yeah, I've been very drunk watching...
Topic!
This
is Joe.
Yeah, so I was just thinking the other day, and I feel like we've actually never talked about it. What is the stupidest thing you've ever seen in a movie? And really, like, you know, just like something so idiotic, either a character done or like the movie setup itself, that you couldn't go on anymore. You're like, this is the worst. Yusuf, what you got?
So I feel like it's recency bias, but me and my wife watched Rumor Has It. Rumor Has It is a movie with a premise that kind of sounds good, right? On the surface, like this woman that questions, like, does she belong in this family? And then she learns that her grandma and her mother are actually the inspirations for the book turned movie, The Graduate, mm-hmm. and where a teenager fucks an older woman and then starts dating the daughter.
Sure.
In the movie, they go off and get married in real life, or at least in rumor has it. The daughter returns to the person that she was going to marry originally, aka Jennifer Aniston's dad. So she begins to assume that her mom had an affair and she's the daughter of the affair.
And the timelines kind of line up when she would have been born and they got married. So, it is a good premise.
The premise up to that point, you go like, okay, that's kind of like a cool premise. And they, in 15 minutes or 20 minutes, they throw that premise out the window. And she fucks her mom's affair, dude.
Kevin Costner. I'm so glad I don't remember this from high school when I saw this movie.
See, this is my whole thing. It's funny because you're describing this, and I know it sounds crazy, but to me, this is how like every rom-com sounds. Like they all feel like this to me. I don't like it.
It's not a rom-com.
Not every rom-com lady is looking for her daddy in front of the daddy, okay?
That's you're also forgetting, I know you're just saying the stupidest thing you've seen in the movie, but I know you're forgetting the fact that she has a loving boyfriend in Mark Ruffalo.
I wanted to get there. And the moral of the story is it's okay to cheat on your partner as long as you have an understanding partner and it immediately forgives you. Because we learned that the dad knew from the start, from the jump, that her mom went out and cheated with Kevin Costner and he forgave her and they got married. And then Mark Ruffalo sees her kissing the man that she thought was her dad. And then she admits to fucking him.
I have anxiety. And
3 months later, they get married. And he's like, and then the line is, and this is the stupidest thing that I've seen in the movie. He tells her, if we have a daughter, Kevin Costner cannot come anywhere near her. That's
because he's fucked almost three generations. He's
all three generations.
Yeah, no, he's batting 100.
He's like Peter Pan.
He's batting 100, my dude. He cannot miss.
Oh, and it's so awkward. Like, I watched that recently, TJ. Yusuf? I've watched it recently. It's so awkward too. The first time they hook up in that bar, and she's like in the bathroom. She's like, I can't. And he just encroaches on her too. He's like, yeah, you can. And she gives a little resistance, and then he's like, you know, you want. It's one of those scenes of like a little. There's consent, but it's also like she gets her drunk.
This is also like Kevin Costner. I think like what's the movie he did with was it Halle Berry, the Mr. Brooks one?
I like Mr. Killer. Brooks.
Well, Mr. Brooks is good.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying he was at that midpoint where it's like he's still a good looking old man, but also he's old. So like Draft Day and like those type.
Yeah,
of
yeah, no,
it's like
his second act of his career.
This is like 2005,
guys.
Yeah, this is 2005, and he's like an investor. And he's like giving speeches and there's like a huge background of like people just talking about search engines and websites. And it's like very
buzzwords, real buzzwords. Yes,
so fucking
like you
funny.
Can tell everyone like voted for like Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
In
that
movie. But like also today would be like, oh, Trump. Pretty good.
Yeah, Clinton, on that one.
I put these two in a category, which is going to, the second one's going to come up in a second, but I want to ask all three of you. I already know Brian's answer, I'm pretty sure. But every time I think about Kevin Costner, I automatically think of somebody else. It's always Harrison Ford. So, who are you guys banging? Kevin Costner or Harrison Ford? And I'm talking like at the same time, 2005. So you're thinking, did Harrison Ford do in 2005? Crystal Skull, maybe?
And then I'm banging Harrison Ford because Harrison Ford has always kept his figure.
I think we're looking at Hollywood Homicide era Harrison Ford.
That's 2002
with Josh Hartnett.
Harrison Ford always had abs. Like
I think I gotta go Harrison Ford too, just because like he definitely wouldn't be as needy. Like Costner, you know, is needy.
He kept it tight.
Mm. And also, see, like, I'm going to go against the grain. You would think I'm the easy choice here, but I'm going to go Costner.
Oh, I really thought you were going Ford.
I was thinking of, I respect him too much.
When I see Kevin like, Costner, I don't know why. I just imagine him thinking of Marlboro Lights.
Well, I was going to say, like, after he's made, hold on, wait. After he's made either of you finished, right? No, which movies you want to talk about bed after you guys are done, though? That's the kick.
I'm not banging his filmography, wait, though, you guys, or his political affiliation.
Time out. This is around the time Kevin Costner stars in a little film called Swing Vote, which I do was not my pick for the stupidest premise of all time, but oh my God. It has to be up there.
It's a big one. And that's like an Ohio-centric movie, too.
Yeah, it's about this hick who just, like, has the choice to vote. Because he doesn't vote. And both presidential candidates show up at his house and try to persuade him. Mm. And it's... Well, I think Kelsey Grammer's one of them.
Amazing. I hope so. That's perfect.
It's not... And guess what? You still don't find out who he votes. You don't find... It's been the whole movie.
It ends on a cliffhanger, like, you still...
Yeah. It ends with him being like, I know my choice, or whatever. And that... Another time, I probably watched the same week I watched.
That's a huge cast, though. That is a huge cast.
Yeah, it ain't bad. It's just shitty.
I love me a good Nathan Lane, man.
So what inspired this question for me was, and it'll be my pick, is because I was trying to think, like, what is really something that just completely like wanted to yell, "Oh fuck you!" at the movie, and it's in Rise of Skywalker. When she has that, like...
The entire fucking movie.
That key fluty thing, and she holds it up to the water.
It matches the wreckage that has only been like for, like, Goonies. 20 years.
No. So you say the Goonies, but it bothers me so much, because at least in the Goonies, it's an actual structure that fits. This is a planet.
Been there when the thing was made, whereas yes. This is supposed to be like an ancient dagger, but somehow it lines up with a piece of wreckage that dropped out of the sky like 20 years ago.
Thank you. Yes. And like, I think debris would have happened. Like, it just pissed me off so much.
Yeah, that's incredibly stupid.
Really. Because
it's beyond stupid.
Like, I know, like, it's Star Wars. Like, I know with everything, especially fantasy, but like, I don't know, there's fucking magic in it. It happens. That was one of those things. I'm like, it lives so far outside of the rules it's set for itself.
Yeah.
That I couldn't.
Yeah, even for it was like, there's stupid and there's like stupid even for a movie that already has space wizards in it. Like, you know,
like,
we're already setting us, we set a bar pretty low and you guys couldn't clear it.
If you make a piece of fiction and you're like, hey, the rules are we could like cotton candy is bullets and we could jump from cushions that are made of lava and like just saying like random shit like and you know the floor is lava basically and you're like and nipples are eyeballs, you know. But like then you implement something that doesn't make sense in that weird world, it's still bad.
Hey, my eyes are down here,
like, and actually our movie tonight does that really well, answering magic questions. But we'll save that. TJ, what do you got?
I mean, this is just me harping on the same shit I always harp on. It's not a movie. The movie I think fucking sucks, but the scene for me, I think, is just stupid and worthless and just for this director to just fucking puff his chest and suck his own dick because he's like, I can make a little plane and rip its wings off and have a big... The beginning sequence of Dark Knight Rises, fuck you, Steph, drives me...
I'm too good, man. I know you all too well.
One of the best parts of the movie.
You just invade the plane, right? You hook the guy up to a fucking... parachute, you jump out, you crash the goddamn plane. You don't have to do anything they do.
They've done that in movies, though. We were doing something something different.
So when the plane crashes and it's just the capsule of the plane, right? And the wings blow off, I don't know, 1,700 miles that way. And the tail blows off 1,000 miles that way. They're going to be like, you know what? This plane exploded on impact. No, none of it makes fucking sense. A plane doesn't crash. There has to be some type of mayday call. It doesn't implode in midlife. It's not a combustible thing. It's not. I'm not a scientist. And hey, I don't know any. But that is the stupidest.
You don't play one on TV either. So shut the fuck up.
You know, I want to say kudos TJ's to all of us. Valid. I'm going to give mine here in a second, but I can't believe that none of us, we all had the restraint to not pick BVS and the Martha scene. Like, that's the dumbest thing for sure.
I actually forget about that movie so much I forgot to pick that movie too. But, yeah, what's her name? Wait, Martha?
Okay, so before I get to my pick, I want to give an honorable mention. This is a thing that is incredibly stupid, but also in like reference or like compared to how iconic the franchise is. So this is like the Star Wars thing with, you know, like Star Wars has reached some pretty high heights. So to have something so very stupid happen in a Star Wars movie, it hurts even more. And this is, and this was the, for me, and it was in Terminator Genisys, and it wasn't even, there's a lot of bad stuff in that, but calling, having Sarah Connor call the Terminator Pops was like my breaking point.
Yeah, you're done.
I was like, wow, I didn't realize Pops. I could, like, I didn't realize I could get off the Terminator train, but apparently I think I'm off. Like,
hey, Pops.
Pops. But then my that answer one... truly a thing that me and my wife were like already watching a bad movie and then like Yusuf said, make you, oh fuck you, you know, that kind of it was back this is actually two Chainsaw reboots ago in Texas Chainsaw 3D. That movie ends with the reveal that the main character is actually related to Leatherface, and you think Leatherface is gonna kill her and she's like trapped, but he doesn't, he saves her, and then they like team up. And she tosses him a chainsaw and says, do your thing, cuz. And that was the stupidest thing I ever saw in a movie.
Can I ask you something that kind of like mirrors that, but also they don't talk about it? And I love this movie just because I saw like the peak teenage age. But like AVP, when that last Predator throws, what's her name? The alien head and the spear on the thing and wraps it for, like, I'm just like, no, a predator probably just slice her head off and just move on.
That part isn't as stupid. Like, I don't mind that. It's later when they're, like, running away from the explosion together and stuff that is, like, where it kind of starts. I was like, oh, are you doing a full-on, like, Lethal Weapon parody now? Is that what is happening here?
If they would have just, like, if they were at some point in time, again, I'm on this one, but if they would have used, they would have showed him using her as, or them using her as bait for the Queen, it would make more sense. But he's just like, let's go, Robin. I'm the Batman. Let's right. And then
the team up. Like the team up aspect. Run. Well, that's why those movies, like the forced human element, they do better in Requiem, because at least the humans are just kind of like in the way. The humans that are in Requiem are just like trying to survive while the fight is like happening around them. But in the first one, they like tried to force that, like, no, she's gonna team up and she's gonna be like happy to have her face permanently scarred, like she's this beautiful woman, and she's like, yes, please draw an acid on my face, monster.
it's an honor
to be marred for life by you. I'm sure people will believe the story when I tell them why I have this fucked up shit on my face.
Alright, is that like it? We're getting a little silent.
Did everybody go?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta pee. But
a little break, a little breaking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm legit pissing
also,
my pants.
That also it counters the fact when definitely gonna be this. We'll keep this in. But when the Predator comes across Lance Hendrickson's character and his heart, he looks into his heart's like not being. He's like, you're not even worth it.
Yeah, he's like, got like lung cancer or something. Yeah.
But if they completely count it, because it's like she's weaponless, you could have just either left her as be and be like, oh, she's alien fucking bait at this point. Like, she's going to die. There's no way he's like, you know what? Let's team up. There's nothing in my brain that thinks that Predator. Because what, there was four or three in that? Three of them. And two of them died so fast. And you're just like, all right.
Not a movie, but something that's always pissed me off, even though the show got terrible, when I was still kind of decent, it was my first sign of it getting bad, was in like season 5 or 6 of Dexter. And he just swings an axe.
Is it the one with Julia Stiles?
It's either the Julia Stiles season or the next one. And he's like, there's a big lock and chain, and he just swings an axe, and it just
Julia Stiles,
locks and just cracks open.
I think like, that should have been the answer for all those like movie cliches we talk about. Like that one always drove me nuts. So like someone finds a safe and they just have like a crowbar and a hammer and they just go one hit.
And it's like,
oh, we're in. No.
Yeah, we were watching. Time that hit though.
We were watching Bad Santa last night, and it was one of those ones where like I've watched it maybe once or twice, but like him breaking into the safe and being like hammered all the time. They do a good. I never seen the second one, so I don't know if they dive more into it, like him learning the different safes through his guy. Joe's like hell of it.
But no, like they Bad Santa 2 is it. Like Joe Dirt 2. What like it's not good.
I never saw Joe Dirt 2.
I didn't either, sure. But I'm just going to go out with my instinct to call it not good.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm going to call that's it worse fair. Than the first one that got some money to be made. And not the one that was, like, the Roku original.
I didn't realize, I think Colin was, Murr was talking about it on Twitter. I didn't realize that the Jingle All the Way 2, the Larry the Cable Guy movie, like, straight-to-video movie, was a WWE production.
I didn't know that either.
Santino Marillo's in it and shit.
WWE is some
that's
weird.
That's very silly.
I mean, obviously, that, like, Paul White is in the first one.
There's that movie, The Call, with Holly Berry, and that's a WWE, where she's an she's a dispatch.
Yeah.
And hey, that's a WWE movie.
See No Evil with Kane is low-key goated. That's a
Brian, have you ever seen Christmas Vacation 2?
No, I've heard
I came across it on Prime, and I was like, hey, I don't know if I should do
it. I've heard it's very, very bad.
Because I think the only people in it is Beverly D'Angelo and obviously Quaid.
Speaking of Beverly D'Angelo.
No, Beverly D'Angelo. Nope. Randy Quaid and Miriam Flynn, who plays his wife, are both in it.
Speaking of the
original Audrey from the first Vacation, but not Juliette Lewis, who is actually the Audrey in Christmas Vacation.
I'm just thinking about letting this all end the fucking episode because you guys have not shut the fuck up.
You should. Speaking of Beverly D'Angelo, she's in Violent Night. Guess who no one in my family recognized?
Really?
Beverly D'Angelo. And guess what? My mother-in-law watches Christmas Vacation on loop on Christmas time.
When I heard her voice, I thought it might be Kathy Moriarty from the villain from Casper. But then when she came into frame, I was like, oh, it's Ben D'Angelo, of course.
Yeah, her voice.
She's still around.
Awesome casting on that. What a great casting choice.
Because Beverly D'Angelo, when she was in... she was in Entourage for a few seasons, which, what, like 14
years
ago? Oh,
okay, let's cut this shit off. Come on, let's do this.
Yeah, that's what we're talking. We started talking about it.
This is getting into it. Why are you getting into this? Why are you getting into the flow?
Cut this fuck up, man.
She, like, what's the main intro is movie?
What's happening with Entourage?
Nothing. I was just saying, Beverly Angel was in that, but, like, at that time, you could tell, like, she had plastic surgery, but was also a little heavier. And this one, like, she's not as, and she looks more like her, but with a lot more plastic surgery. Like 14
years
later.
She looks like she has a fucking mask, though. Like,
I have never not been attracted to her. And Beverly, if you're out there, I love you. You're beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I will be the one to stand up here and say I don't shame women for choosing to get plastic surgery. It's hard for actresses.
I was stating facts.
There's pressures that I don't understand. And, I mean, maybe these guys should just sit their asses down and listen to women instead.
Hey, Brian, I was stating facts. I wasn't shaming anyone.
Hey man, I'll say the same thing about Rurik and all the fucking dudes that do it. I don't give a fuck.
Zac Efron and his weird
Zac
cheeks.
Efron with his fucking Trek
weird
look.
Chin.
Yeah. Oh, be nice. My man almost died.
That yeah, like 10 years ago, dude. It has nothing to do with how he looks today.
Oh, you think I keep up on news?
Violent Night. So Joe was gracious enough to give me his slut and his slot. S-L-T-O.
You can have my slut. It's me.
You can have a slot or a slut, whatever.
The chimney.
Because we usually don't do this. We usually watch movies that we've seen in the past, old movies, movies that nobody has seen ever in their fucking life. If you're a TJ, we don't do new movies, but Violent Night's trailer really captivated all of us. Like when I mentioned that I kind of wanted to do Violent Night, all of you guys were like, yeah, we already wanted to see it, so might as well do a fucking episode on it. And it is the season to be jolly. So if you don't know, Violent Night stars David Harbour from Stranger Things, Hellboy, and other things. I don't remember anything.
Revolutionary Road.
Revolutionary Road.
I mean, just lots of character actor up until Stranger Things. Like,
Suicide Squad. He was in Suicide Squad as the
stuff.
So he plays Santa. He is down and out Santa because, you know, the recurring trope now with Santa is like, you know, the capitalism, the way of life has really depleted his belief in the Christmas holiday spirit.
Classic drunken, smoking, hard-nosed, over it Santa.
He's an over it Santa with a past. And, oh, by the way, nobody's listening to this shit, but if you are and you don't know, we're going to spoil the shit out of this. So
yeah, spoilers.
This is not a review.
There's not a ton to be spoiled, I guess.
But we're not going to be, like, tiptoeing around.
It's Die Hard with Santa Claus. It has,
give her thoughts.
It has a twist in as much as Die Hard has a twist. In, like, the reason.
He is out and about.
Or whatever, but,
yeah, yeah. I mean, so I figured it out.
Tim Allen replaces him after he falls off a roof. So
yeah, it's wild.
Tim Allen wishes he could be this Santa Claus.
Oh no, yeah, this is exactly the type of Santa Claus he wishes he could be.
Yeah. A gun. He wanted guns. He doesn't do a lot of guns in this movie.
Well, he doesn't know what a gun is because he's from the teens.
Yeah.
So he is out and about. He's drunk. He's tired. He doesn't give a fuck about Christmas anymore.
That's a great intro scene.
Oh, beautiful, interesting. And then he stumbles into a house that is actually being held up hostage. There is a rich family. They have a lot of shady dealings, and they have supposed millions of dollars hidden in a very fancy safe in their basement.
Yeah, they're so like now a Santa. Oil family.
Newly minted John Leguizamo, newly minted Flyboy, Mount Rushmore member.
With a suspiciously very dark hair. All natural, all natural. Shame men that dye their hair very jet black.
Someone seems mad.
John Leguizamo stole this movie for me.
I think he
took it away from David Harbour.
Christmas dies tonight, I legitimately cheered.
Brian, I think at least I know all four of us thought. I'm like, that. Gosh, please, that's a great Halloween Kills. Just like
I was like, it might not be, but to me, it was a Halloween Kills joke.
Evil guys. Well, what's great about this movie is they nail it, like the joke corny lines when they need to be, and you know they're jokes.
Yeah. No, it's very self-aware.
It's
very self-aware. And you know, Santa promises the little girl that still believes in him, that he is going to save the family. He can't walk away.
I like how he checks to see if she's on the nice list. Like, if she was naughty, he'd have bailed.
My whole thing is, like, what would he have done if she was on the naughty list? Like, just make himself get out and be on his way? Or it's like, do I get to you, give you a message to change it around? Because, like, what that Santa would do? Because that Santa at that time is broken-ish, obviously.
Well, the Christmas
element. Sorry, Joe. I like the element that he doesn't even still to this day. He seems to have been doing it for hundreds of years, and he still doesn't fully understand all the aspects of Santa magic and what it entails. Because clearly, when shit breaks off, he tries to leave. He does his little boop boop to go up the chimney. No go.
The magic. The magic.
Santa magic won't let him leave. Santa magic knows that he needs to stay there and do his thing.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom real quick. You guys,
that's what I was gonna say, Brian. The Santa magic is like purposely make him stay there. That is,
I think that's an element of it that's funny is that even though he's been doing it for years, he does not clearly have a full handle on what he
like the reindeer.
And I do.
The reindeer would have
like
left no matter what.
Yeah, the reindeer just bailing. And I do like, obviously, we're going to jump far ahead, but when they actually come back and he's like, now you show up, motherfuckers. Yeah, because you did your job. Right.
Like, when
they brought him
you.
Back his bag, they brought him his replacement bag.
Yeah, he's like, I
do like the intro. Like, I know we're jumping all over the place, but the intro is so well made. And him, him going up the roof and she following him and he just fucking vomiting all over her. a drive-by vomit. I laughed so fucking hard. I was like, yeah.
So dumb. It's so
now, when I saw this, I had a couple. And when that scene happened, I was like, Give me a second. And I just turn away. I'm like, all right. That one.
So Joe's about to do a reenactment himself.
Yeah.
And it was good. I love that, like, this movie's like, obviously, it didn't reinvent the wheel at all. To the point that when they introduced Al, the gate man, and they gave him so much love and respect, I was like, oh, Al's going to die instantly. Isn't
yeah, immediately going to get murdered.
And he's the only one.
Just the little girl knew his name. I was like, oh, you're yeah. dead, dude.
Oh, you're
dead,
man. I'm sorry.
He's the only you're one too who important. Gets that treatment.
But the aspect that I want to mention is like,
if the little girl's like, did we give Al's tip this year? And they go, oh, no, we haven't. So at the end of the movie, Al's like comes out of nowhere, like still alive, just fucking like limping, and they give him a tip, and it's like, oh, that's great.
He gets shot right. Say his name.
Yeah, he gets brained.
He got it.
But like, it happens so much sooner than like your traditional movie would have given that to you.
No, that's true. Like they got it the fuck out of the way.
I'm
and
glad.
It's also and it's also a good introduction to John because like you establish that this is a well beloved character, and then comes John Leguizamo with his jet black hair and instantly kills him, and you're like, oh, John is here, he's not gonna fuck around.
Yeah.
Would you hire that catering company full of weird Middle Eastern looking diehard criminals?
Well, I say sure because you're not inspecting each person on the catering company.
Yeah, you just hire a company and then their crew shows up.
They were not being fucking subtle at all. They were just walking around like...
Well, they got the kid from... I don't know if TJ recognized him. The guy who was playing the crazy guy, the elf. That's our boy from Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah, I recognize him
immediately. The guy in the bathtub was...
The drug addict, yeah.
He's Zach Ward's younger brother.
Fuck,
yeah.
I get him. I don't know if anyone remembers this. When I had you guys watch the Breakdown with Kurt Russell,
yeah,
there's one kid in that movie who plays like the dumb kid that eventually is like he's half in and half out. I get those two mixed up. I don't know the actor's name who plays that guy, but I always get those two mixed up.
I don't remember him. I remember like in Breakdown, but I don't remember that kid at all.
Yeah, I don't remember really any kid.
He's like wiping the windshield or the headlights down. He's acting like he's not all there, and then eventually he's like half of the leader of it. Regardless, it's not the same movie. Back to the other one.
I do enjoy that he's not a badass from the get-go. Like it takes him a while to like warm up the old muscles. Like his muscle memory kicked in when he had to defend himself in the beginning.
He has to show us his muscles to let us know. Like it's like he has to like get his old dad bod out with his tats and stuff. His little
tats made me laugh so much because they were like,
it's like a big snowflake.
Do we ever think that like David Harbour, as much as I love him, like, but he makes his money other than Stranger Things, where he is arguably the lead minus last season. Like, do we think he'll always play something of a character actor with some type of like prosthetic on his face, like either Santa, it's
Hellboy,
Hellboy or anything like that, or will he eventually evolve and like being the next Christopher Nolan movie?
I do think he's made that Jeff Bridges turn into being like a big burly bearded schlub.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Bridges was a handsome guy and then he did Big Lebowski and from that point on he only played beardy schlubs and country and like West Country Western dudes. So I think we've seen that with David Harbour. I think post Stranger Things, like you see him as he's the Red Guardian and Black Widow. He's Santa Claus. He's Hellboy.
Yeah, I feel like he has the same. I mean, obviously it's an easy connection, but kind of the same trajectory as Ron Perlman.
He also has a lot of
like they have the same.
Yeah,
the same cadence ish, the same sarcastic sense of humor.
Big
and
body.
They, despite them playing different characters, at least to me, they're always Ron Perlman, and he's
also
always
kind of like bigger dudes who come off as tough guys without being like super ripped or built. They just have that like aura of like fuck around,
and also have this sense of humor about themselves while they're kicking ass.
He, he has a lot of his last roles, I guess, post Stranger Things, are all like fun roles, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, you get to play a character.
But you forget that in like just as recently as the first Suicide Squad movie, he was just a guy in a suit in that, with like a regular haircut. Yeah. He was like a government dude. And that's basically what he played a lot of shit.
That is a decent character.
A guy that sits at a desk and gets talked to by someone else.
Yeah, yeah, he was. So
I don't know if they knew that before Stranger Things came out, but Dexter Tolliver, the character he plays in Suicide Squad, does become
Shut the fuck up, you nerd.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they. I don't know if
they're gonna become shit. Those ones are dead.
My last name is Dexter, so
you
if I
fucking
say
nerd.
Dexter in the fucking name, I'm gonna dive into it.
Let's talk about the family real quick because the family is interesting. I did Judy laugh Gemstone. A lot. Yeah,
Judy
I did.
You cannot hit. Oh God, she's so good.
She's playing Judy Gemstone.
Yeah,
made me even laugh.
I didn't need her to do anything different because I'm fine. No. Which I love me. I'll take more Judy Gemstone every day of the week.
The fact that their last name is what, Limestone.
Yeah,
she was
exactly
very.
What I was thinking too.
Yeah, she was funny. The Rip dude from Never Back Down was funny.
Cam Guignette. You know, can I say something about him?
Oh, him pulling
my man,
out the pitch deck.
My man has the. Most beautiful eyes I've ever seen in my life, and I'm gonna be.
This is just the episode where TJ's like, I have to talk to you guys. Like, yeah, no, every topic.
I'm
just like, this
get
dude.
A very interesting Christmas present this
dude,
year.
Dude, no, when they called him Tragic Mike, I could not stop fucking laughing. That was such a fucking good joke.
That is good.
And the TikTok kid was so well made. Usually,
he was funny
when
as he
tried
to really
rip
fun.
Off. He was actually funny. He was like, okay, this is a good satire of a version that you see in TikTok every fucking day, pretty much.
At the end, the like little stinger where he does like the TikTok with the dead body with like the dead body. Yeah. Like,
I
very funny.
I like after I left the dad lead in the movie, you know, the one who's based around.
I think he was the weakest link of the
time. He's in The Boys. He's the invisible guy in The Boys.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is that? And someone was like, oh, you remember The Boys, the invisible guy? I'm like, no, because you saw him for
like
once
second.
without his helmet on. He was the weakest link. The mother was really enjoyable, especially when they started beating the shit out of
I was going to ask you how you feel about the girl, the little girl actress.
She was cute.
She was cute, but it felt very rehearsed.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
when. It felt like a YouTube video
natural,
of a family.
She didn't have like a very natural vibe. She felt like a little kid actor.
She
did a good job, like nothing away from her, but just as far as kid actors go and characters are sketchy.
It's weird, like her dialogue was separated out where like she was saying things that you would see in like a real like B movie, C movie, like real like straight to video lines by a kid actor. It's not even like they weren't even a bad actor, like it's just bad in it. And like everything she delivered, even like the Stormbreaker, like great funny scene, it felt very like, oh, this everyone else is natural and you're not. Like they had to keep the camera on her and they're like, we're gonna go with the best take, but we can't put anyone else in the frame to act with you. You're gonna react to everything.
Yeah. No, it was very rehearsed. I did like the Home Alone R-rated. The small Home Alone R-rated section, that was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that I did wince away. That actually, the nail through the...
Oh, yeah.
I winced anything away.
Like that gets me.
And then you. Anything when we saw the skull...
Oh, yeah.
The bone behind his head. It's like... that always goes back to like Saw, like 3 or 4, where they drill into his head. That like I like looked away, just I don't like that visual. Other than that, yeah, that was the best way to do that Home Alone.
Yeah, you had to go super, super fucking graphic with it.
I was gonna say speaking of those characters, I was really enjoying the element of henchmen who are starting to believe, who are like like the two that like actually think it is Santa and are like what
John Leguizamo just getting like, fucking frustrated with it.
He like goes up, he like just, you know, turns to dust and swooshes up the chimney and they're all like
it's
John Leguizamo doesn't see it, of course, so then they don't, he doesn't believe him and they're like trying to convince him or whatever.
And they go to the extraction team.
That was a fun element too.
When they go to the extraction team and they're like it's Santa, he's like shut the fuck up.
That's another part, again, we're talking about not reinventing the wheel. I was like the extraction team showing up in the white suits on snow. I was like, okay, so we're just doing Die Hard 2. So they're they're bad, like they're bad guys also. And then they were. I was like, yeah, we're just doing apparently, Die Hard
2. Apparently I love the shower movie scene in the beginning though, where they're naked doing fucking karate. Like I'm definitely in on that one. Let's go.
Apparently this Sadler's movie
tight sinewy body just comes.
Apparently this movie has more Die Hard 2 references in it and like nods than Die Hard 1.
Because Die Hard 2 also famously a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
But yeah,
I watched them both great at Christmas time because that's great just pick when I remember to watch Die Hard. I just use Christmas as my marker. It's been a year. It's time to watch Die Hard again.
Shout out my girlfriend. She watched Die Hard, the end of it, for the first time the other night. She caught me watching it when she walked in on Sunday. And she goes, this is like a guy's Christmas movie, huh? And I went, we're good. It's over. Because it was the ho-ho, I have the machine gun now. We're good. It's over. It is, boys. It's a Christmas movie. It's done.
There's like a lot of good action beats in it, like with the hammer and all that stuff, but I do love the clumsiness, like when he was jumping over the pool table and he could barely jump over, yeah, using like reefs, using wrapping paper.
His disdain for milk also really good.
Yeah. No, him putting awesome like the liquor in the milk, I was like, ooh.
Oh, this is good this is good shit. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I like
oh, too, him savoring the cookie, he's like
I like that they were judicious with the backstory. I'm sure if we get a Violent Night 2, we'll get more of that.
Oh, but we'll see Mrs. Like Claus.
I really hope we don't get a 2.
I just like kind of hinting at the backstory. He was like some kind of Viking. He clearly did a lot of horrific violence in his life. Yeah. And through some magic, he became this like spirit that now has to like, almost as a penance, do good things for children and like
the PG version of this, right, is comparable, right? Like, so Christmas Chronicles is the PG Santa version.
Claus. Yeah, Christmas Chronicles is kind of.
Like I mean, for like the way like a new age Santa who's like a little like he's handsome, he's jokey, he's not Tim Allen, basically.
Yeah, but he's not Kurt Russell. David Harper, no
Kurt Russell.
And you understand what I'm saying? Christmas Chronicles 2 completely gives you all this mythology and the you know and his wife and the elves and like it's a blow movie. It's not as good. That's what's gonna happen.
They shouldn't make it too. I know they are going to make it, but
you know they can't help it.
It's not.
I like his love story with his wife too.
Is there like a company attached to this? Warner Brothers, something like that.
The guys who made John Wick made it.
Right, I think it's the same and nobody too. It's like that.
And I'm gonna shout this. I just want to kind of give you like what if or somehow I don't know how the rights of this go. Him versus the Grinch, like some weird crazy shit. Like not Krampus. We don't need Krampus. Oh, you don't? Yeah, no. But what was Jim Carrey?
I almost wanted to drop kick like David Harbour when he's like, "Ooh, I want an extended universe where Pedro Pascal plays the Easter Bunny," and I was like, "Shut the fuck up, dude! You had a nice movie, just stop."
Yeah, I agree. Fuck? I'm with Yusuf where I hope they don't make a sequel, and I'm almost sure that they will.
So the guy who directed this directed Dead Snow.
Oh, that's not so good.
And Dead Snow 2. Hansel and Gretel.
Is that the Nazi zombie?
You did Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Something called The Trip. What Happened to Monday, and then Violent Night, and I believe it was written by the John Wick guys, Josh Miller.
Can we talk about arguably, and it's been a long ass time, I know that this is like not reinventing the wheel and is sticking to the tropes, but arguably the best final boss kill.
That was a lie. While. That guy didn't write it.
Wait, what? What?
That guy didn't write it. I just want to.
Arguably the best final boss kill in a long ass time. They didn't drop him off a roof.
I have one correction.
I can't remember what was the. How it's did they the
Sonic. The Sonic the Hedgehog guys wrote this movie.
Oh, from the first
that movie. Needed to be said right now, huh?
It did.
Yusuf was flowing.
It did. Yusuf has cut me off more times than anyone in my life.
Brian, I doubt that, dude. Fucking Brian is right there.
I know. Brian has
fucking Brian is right there.
I'm sorry, but you're right. The final boss kill, aces.
Remind me how the final boss kill went.
He fucking grabs John Leguizamo and does the chimney trick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was
awesome. Holding his corpses.
Like, rips him up through a tiny hole, basically.
I love the body. I love how he's holding the body, and it's like, it's a Mortal it's a fatality. It's a Mortal Kombat
fatality. Yeah, it's a Mortal Kombat fatality. Exactly. That's the best way to describe it. I was like, fuck yes. I said that out loud in the theater when it, he did it. It's like, fuck yes. That was so
fun. That is really good.
It's so much
fun. Who wrote it?
It was a surprise. I thought it was John Wick, someone with John Wick, but it's the Sonic the Hedgehog guys.
Good movies.
Cool. Something else, everybody? Anybody got some tidbits they want to throw in there?
I think we talked.
You guys saw some more nuts to roast over the.
It was very good. It was very enjoyable, fun. It'll be definitely be something I'll buy and watch again next year.
I absolutely be buying it.
It's definitely a good add to the Christmas watch.
John Leguizamo also in Die Hard 2, so maybe
I would definitely watch.
Die Hard 2. Oh, that's right. He's one of the crew that's setting up the.
Oh, what the fuck!
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
That's my fun fact was that Die Hard fun fact, so I had it in my notes.
Now you've done
like enough. I said, I saw him riding up. I'm actually like I've stood up for Die Hard 2 for a long time. I think it's a very serviceable sequel.
It was the first violent kill I ever saw in my life.
Complain too much about sequels that were just more of the same from the first movie. And I get that can be kind of annoying, but if it's done well, I don't understand what the problem is. It's kind of my thing with Ghostbusters 2. It's like, yeah, but who didn't want more Ghostbusters? It's great.
As long as it doesn't destroy the first one. All right, it sounds like we're going to the room.
I'll jump off the bat with this one. I give this one again is a viable, watchable. It's like Joe's introduced me to a night before, and now I have this one about a night.
I've watched it before. I've never seen it. It's not free anywhere though.
Oh yeah, no, it's not free.
No, yeah, it's not free anywhere. You can do a free trial, I think, for something like that.
Stars.
Yeah, Stars.
That's how I saw it. I free stars.
But I'm giving this one a clean 7.7. If we could, Hollywood, and this is just me speaking from very, heartfelt place. I think Cam Guiganet, who plays the heartthrob in this, beautiful eyes, beautiful face. You mentioned him earlier, Yusuf. I'm trying to think of where the character he was. But he was never back down.
TJ, what do you think his penis looks like?
Oh, it's probably beautiful. Guaranteed. Yeah, and sure, also, also uncut.
But very thin.
Uncut.
Super thin.
No, uncut. 7.7. Cam Guiganet needs more Hollywood.
Kind of bends down in the end. This is a very weird penis.
7.7 inches is what TJ rated. 7.7 inches.
Brian, how many inches would you give this?
I'm right around there too. Like I would give it high sevens, but I think I'll push it even up to 8, a nice even 8. And the reason I'll get it up there is because I give extra points for when a movie like perfectly executes what it sets out to do, and that's what I think. I think Violent Night definitely did that.
I have a question for you because you tweeted out something or it was in our group chat. You said this movie almost did something to make it bad, but it stayed away from doing a thing that
That was what I was talking about with the, too much backstory, too much history.
Oh, okay.
Like, giving me, like, being like, and here's how the curse, and here's him on some altar being like, no, I'm becoming Santa, They could have done a bunch of dumb shit. They didn't. They showed his tattoos. He talks a little bit. You get like one scene of basically just his eyes and face on a battlefield. And like, you don't really see very much. You just get enough little like breadcrumbs to kind of get you there. You don't need, and I think it could have really fucked it up. Like delved too much into, which is what I think they'll probably do in the sequel.
So you're at 8. It's clean 8.
Yeah, because it's a clean 8, I think.
Yusuf, what do you got?
Me.
Yeah.
I can see me watching this one and then Krampus, or Krampus and then this one. Like, it has that fucking good, violent, get festive.
Isolated, too. Like, it's a bottle. Like, isolated. The Krampus is a bottle episode of a movie. This has the same fucking thing.
Beautiful house. It's fun, man. David is funny. John is a badass and funny. Good premise. I don't know why. Maybe Christmas magic. I can give it 7.8. I don't know why, man. Christmas
magic. Yeah. I'm right there. I was I saw it twice coincidentally. I saw it on last Monday, and then my friend wanted to see it on Friday, and I got too stoned for the second viewing, so I actually didn't like watch it. I don't remember shit of the movie. I was a dead body. But each time enjoyable, like laughed at the jokes.
Joe was like the girl, like, don't do drugs, girl.
Yeah.
Was... like, turned two-dimensional, just, like, soaked into the couch.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm going to meet Yusuf and Brian right in the middle. 7.9 candy canes. My first thought was, can't wait to just, you know, I pre-ordered the Blu-ray or 4K whenever that's released. I don't know what they're giving it yet. But yeah, that back-to-back, you, TJ, all said it, like Krampus, the night before, like this, that's a really nice, like, triple feature, like, adult Christmas, that's not Bad Santa.
Yeah, fuck Bad Santa.
Yeah, Bad Santa.
We're running a little long here, I'm picking next. I'm glad I didn't do a game, but I did put everyone's name on a wheel, and I put a movie.
Well, we're not running long, because I got a cut. Like,
okay. Yeah, he's gonna cut like 10 minutes out of the middle. All right, although threatened not to because we were so interested.
Either way, it doesn't matter. Recently, we're going through. I don't think the movie is gonna be that good. It's gonna be diverse, but we're going through. You know, Brendan Fraser is about to get his Brendan Sons, his Fraser Sons, right?
Watch him be dazzled.
So I gave everyone a movie to their name.
I really don't mind a certain wheel. One.
So here's the wheel.
Blast from the past, 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 be me.
So it is TJ. Oh, I do love Blast from the Past.
Be fair, though. Put, be fair.
Wheels. We got Airheads.
Let's go. Oh,
come on.
So,
hey, if you want to bone up on the DVD bunker I did on Airheads about three years ago, go ahead and check that out.
Brian, DVD bunker was a lot longer than 3 years ago.
It was 6 years ago.
Yeah. Brian, you were the mummy, and Yusuf, you were monkey bone.
Oh, phew.
I'm glad that wasn't me.
We dodged a damn bullet on that.
That was a huge bullet, man. Why wasn't I being asshole, man?
You know what's funny? I forgot it. I love Blast from the Past, but I was like, no, we don't need to hit another rom-com again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, so next week, or 2 weeks, we'll be doing Airheads. This is our holiday episode, so I figured I have to double dip on the holiday season.
Airheads is going to be the last episode of 2022. Where can the people find you, Brian?
Oh, man, you can find me on Twitter, at Hercules. We're partying in here. We got all kinds of beer.
That will not be the last episode before this. Me and Brian are working on a Christmas Story 2 episode that will drop probably... When is this one dropping?
I'm not going to... Thursday. This one's been postponed several times, kids. I don't know. We'll see. It's not recorded yet.
Thursday.
Not in the bag.
Thursday. Thursday next week, we have a great episode dropping for the Fear Pod.
Nobody's here.
What are we doing? Yeah, Joe,
find me. And like after this, you could find me talking to Janine about Better Watch Out, another horror Christmas movie.
Yeah, and bye.
Bye.